The hunt is on for baggy jeans, Aquanet for that long, luxurious hair, and a weird Cajun grandpa. We saw a hard target, so you know what that means.
Show with Nick Crow and take a bubble speed to hitting cruise control. J-Man, Big Paul, and the beautiful June. Gonna take you from the groove all the way to the room. Renegades and Street Fighter help to blow off steam. Just a sucker punch the odd life of Timothy Green. Sharp little the Birdemic, how you staying alive? They call me when they're badass and he's on the line. Cranking 88 minutes cause they cool as ice. Cause they're bad Jim Barney looking kind of nice. Paul and June getting literal, Jason is getting laid. June is making sure all the shots get me paid. They're just a bunch of movies while they're making the grade. Here's a real question for you, how did this get paid?
Hello people of Earth, and hello people of New Orleans! We are live and we are back on the road to celebrate the 1993 Jean-Claude Van Damme classic about the most dangerous game, Hunting Man. That's right. Tonight we will be talking about Lance Henriksen as Emile Fouchon, a man who hunts homeless people. And Jean-Claude Van Damme, who just kind of falls backwards into figuring out what's going on. All for $100 a day. It's John Woo's first English language film. And from what I can tell, I did watch it closely, it's the first time you don't see Jean-Claude Van Damme's ass. But you see Boo indeed. Indeed. But if mullets were asses, we see a lot of ass. And that's all we're here to do. Talk about mullets. I can't wait to talk to you about this movie. I can't wait to just talk to you about Wilford Brimley. When a movie can surprise you at hour and 27 minutes in, I'm like, whoa. There is so much going on here, but I can't break it down alone. I need to break it down with my two co-hosts. Fresh out of the house, out of quarantine, please welcome Jason Manzoukas!
What's up, Jerk? And while there's not a balcony, there is a balcony-esque area. So give it up for the balcony monsters. These balcony motherfuckers, everybody's topless.
They have just been living on frozen daiquiris for a year.
Yeah.
So they're ready to go.
These people are sloppy. This city is sloppy. I don't mind saying it. Look at this woman in the front row is like, yes, we're so sloppy, you get me.
I am just excited to be in air conditioning. So, and now help me bring to the stage my other co-host, Miss June Diane Raphael. How are you, June?
I'm doing well. How are you, Paul?
I'm doing fine. Thank you for asking. Hard target, June. Thoughts?
Okay. I don't know why we're doing this movie on this podcast and not on Spooled.
Whoa. On Spooled Club!
I love...
I have an answer for you, June. It's because we don't do Unspooled.
Well, I know we don't. We've never been asked.
It's not a
very long list.
We are on the banned unspooled list.
God, but I love this movie. No notes, really. It's
except give me more.
Exactly. It flew by, and Paul, you really prepped me, and I don't know if you were doing a practical joke, but you really warned me it's going to be an hour and 40 minutes. It's going to feel like two.
I just wanted you to be prepared. I don't know where you fall. Sometimes you don't like a John Woo movie, but maybe you do.
I like this John Woo movie.
All right, wow.
And by the way,
I sure do.
JCVD, perhaps never better.
Never better.
Never better.
And a city in which his accent somehow works.
The only place.
All the French Belgian people here in New Orleans know.
I was like, I buy it. He fits here. Also, two things.
Yeah.
All of Act Three, he has no lines.
No problem.
This movie, shockingly, no buns.
That's what I was saying.
And also,
this is a bunless Jean-Claude Van Damme movie.
Also, it takes a really long time for him to strip down into that tank top.
You're right. When he finally takes off that billowy,
like a light washed denim shirt.
It's like a parachute that has been attached to his body. I can't get any read on his body the entire time because he, like, between the hair, he feels like he is constantly in some, he's almost like a Mardi Gras.
Well, he's also wearing a duster. He's wearing like a duster for the first act. In the second act, he's wearing the shirt, the billowy shirt, the billowy pants, and then it's
always a belt.
The last 5 minutes that he comes down to, and the camera drinks in his
We've been waiting for it.
Maybe John Woo's best movie for his aggressive slow-mo is just Jean-Claude Van Damme's body.
Listen, I'll tell you, Jean-Claude Van Damme's work in this movie is, like you said, Jason, the best work he's ever done. There's nothing better. He's restrained.
Well, I think all of his performances are restrained because it feels to me like his grasp on the English language is slight. And I don't say that in a derogatory way.
Wow.
I
just Paul.
You are making an
Careful.
Enemy.
Careful.
Love him. Love him. But I don't think of him as a broad performer.
Is he here?
I do agree with you.
He's not broad.
It seems that no one ever taught him the word dad in English.
Oh.
Because he loves saying daddy,
I'm helping
papa.
Her look for her daddy. I'm going to help you find your daddy.
But him saying
and
the
every
word...
Every time I was like, ooh.
It's well, so why, uncomfortable. Ooh.
Why it's so weird is because they're saying like, her father was killed. And he's like, we'll find your daddy. It's like, well, hold on.
Now,
we're talking about a dead man. We can't call the dead man daddy.
It would make sense if Natalie's character was 11.
Sure.
Yeah, no, it was, I was like, oh, this movie, again, because they don't try and saddle him with a ordinary man job or a regular Joe kind of, in the other movies, he's like a firefighter. He's like a guy in the world who has to interact with real people. He's just like a vigilante, essentially.
He's just a poor person. I mean, this movie is about the rich hunting the poor against their knowledge. Really, I have a lot of issues with the game.
We're going to talk about the game of it all.
Ooh,
first
the
of
most
all,
dangerous
they actually,
game.
It is the most dangerous game of all, and they don't want just any old poor person.
No.
They want a poor person with a military background.
But they're not going to give
they
him...
They want a worthy competitor.
But they don't give the competitor anything.
Except 5 minutes.
5 minutes. You'd be like, what are you going to do? Like, give him a gun.
I kept wanting to say, you all have cars. You have a fleet.
They have like, they're like literally a hunting party, except their dogs are guys on motorcycles. And they have, Mr. Pick is like the head of the thing. And
by the way, Mr. Pick, the mummy. From The Mummy.
I love him.
I
couldn't place him, but goddamn if Lance Hendrickson isn't just
killing
it
constantly
in this movie.
Amazing.
Lance Hendrickson is now, I think, my favorite How Did This Get Made actor. Not because he's bad. It's because no matter what movie He is amazing.
He also funded, because I also recently watched Aliens, and he is at the right, he understands every time what movie he's in.
Yes.
And adjusts accordingly. You know, like here, he's like, oh, got it. This is enormous and preposterous. I can do that.
Yeah.
And in Aliens, he's like, what's going on? Okay, I can do that.
He's so understated.
He literally was a fan of John Woo and is like, put me in your movie. John Woo did. And he said the only note he ever got from John Woo, he said, how do you want me to play my character? And he goes, you hunt the weak. He goes, got it. Never took another note.
And by the way,
amazing.
Unnecessary, because he crushes. He's so good in
this. He's incredible.
He is so great. I want to talk about one thing. I know I'm bringing it up early, but there's a moment in this movie, and we won't get to the end, but I just want to talk about Lance, where he is on fire.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. That wasn't supposed to happen.
Whoa.
Lance Henriksen caught fire during the movie, did not break character, and they left it all in the film. His jacket caught fire, and he's like, fuck it, we're going. And that's why he looks like he did have some like sort of gel on him so he wouldn't like fully ignite. That was not supposed to happen. And John Woo was like, yeah, he didn't break character, so we left it all in.
That's rad.
I mean, someone should have yelled cut.
That's why he says, what do you guys, because the other actors, if you watch that scene again, and we don't have it, but if you watch that scene again, he says to the other actors, like, go, get out of here. This is why you're paying money. Because the other actors were in shock. They're like, what the fuck is going on? The lead actor of this movie is on fire. And he like gave them an exit, like, go, get out of here. Takes off the jacket.
It was the same thing on Aliens. He wasn't supposed to get ripped in half, and he just got ripped in half. And he was like, let's roll on it. I'll force my blood to be a milky viscous substance, and we'll just do it.
This is the one thing I wanted to talk to you both about. The movie opens up in the French Quarter, and no one is on the street. The only time I've seen that is at 8 a.m. in the morning.
The whole movie, the streets of New Orleans are empty, which is legitimately impossible, because there is always either a wasted person or a corpse somewhere on these streets.
I've never seen.
What do you guys know, though?
Well,
wait a second, Paul. When the police go on strike, everyone goes home, right?
I forgot the police were on strike.
The police.
Interesting.
Once our detective gets murdered, the police are nowhere to be found.
Even before then, I was obsessed with the detective. I thought she was amazing. I was actually really obsessed she was murdered so early on. But this is where John Woo, I think he's fantastic. Giving her that little moment of blowing out the birthday candle.
Yeah.
Genius. How funny, though, that she first puts it lit in a desk
hilarious.
Drawer.
And I was like, they're never going to come back to that.
I was like,
but what was also like, we never get to understand, because it looks like her entire force is protesting and on strike outside, except for her. And we don't really understand her position on this union battle that they're in.
Without cops, the city stops, baby.
Well, right, but I guess she's like, no, we should be defunded.
Without cops, maybe things would be better.
Yeah, but exactly. I agree.
Maybe things would be better.
By the way, I want to talk about this opening because, you know, basically Lance Henriksen is funding this hunt, right? It's very similar to that movie that we did about time travel where they hunt dinosaurs.
And here, also, apparently, an upcoming Mickey Rourke movie.
Well, I mean, they've done this version of, like, let's hunt humans. But this one, it feels like they really didn't let the humans in on it, or at least what we've seen. And I love the guy who's like, my thing is arrows. I want to hunt with arrows.
And
I
thought, from a rifle. Arrows were being shot out of a rifle barrel.
Now, the poster of this movie, the arrow plays. Like, all right, he's going to be hunted by the arrow guy. That arrow guy is like a side, even a side character.
Can I confess something?
Yeah.
I thought that customer was Steven Seagal for a long time.
By the way, can I say something?
Yeah.
I watched most of Hard Target last night, okay?
Yeah.
I finished it today so it would be fresh. I turned it off. I turned on the TV in my hotel room playing Steven Seagal's Under Siege. And I was like, yes. And I'm now going to say, we must.
We got to do some
must,
Seagal.
When we play a live show on a naval vessel, we are going to do Steven Seagal's Under Siege.
That's the best one. I mean,
Tommy Lee Jones, Gary Busey. It's next level.
And when we play our next train show, we'll play Under Siege 2 with Eric Bogosian as the bad guy.
So let's just go back for a second to the love story between Yancey and Jean-Claude, because I was also expecting it, and I felt like, oh, wow, they bailed on it because of her mouth situation. And because the mouth situation was tough, because it was there in some scenes and it wasn't there in others.
That's the way herpes works. Sometimes it's there,
sometimes
it's not. But
what's really confusing is, like, well, they were probably shooting the movie out of order, so it really does seem to come and go. You know, it's there and then it's not there, but I'm like, oh, he must have.
It is New Orleans.
That's true. That's true. But I was like, I guess Jean-Claude, like, just didn't want to make out with her, which I understand.
That the cheek kiss now makes way more sense, because it looks like he's going in for a makeout,
yes.
And instead he goes to the side and gives her a cheek
kiss. But by the way, the cheek kiss is after his friend died. She's like, oh, let me kiss him. Like, it wasn't the right time. This movie didn't really understand. Like, it's like, oh, your friend just died. Give me those lips. Give me those big old
Give me those
Belgian lips.
Lips or nips?
Lips.
Okay. I mean, give me those nips works in New Orleans, too. Somebody just gave us these things here.
By the way, I will say this, just before we get off the cop for too long. They do hold on her blowing out the candle for way too long. Like, it's like some sort of Eddie Murphy movie where it's like, I wish that I run out of words. Like, and I was thinking, is this movie about, like, a cop who's like, I wish I got a great case. And then that was like, because they really hold on the wish.
So do you think that this movie's plot is her birthday wish come
yes.
true?
Yes.
Wow.
She's like, the
honestly,
department's on strike. I'm at work. I hope I get a good case. She should have wished
honestly,
that I survive.
Like, yes. Or maybe she did want it to be her last year on Earth.
By the way, she
got... there's people over there.
Yeah. By the way, okay. she gets shot. Seemingly, she gets shot in the arm. And he's like, leave her, she's dead. I'm like, really? Really? You're
that
like,
was
he
so
cut
tough.
Bait on her
hard.
So quick.
I thought for
she's
sure.
Dead.
I thought for sure she was going to come back in the third act, having survived that.
Me
but
too.
Once Wilfred Brimley showed up, I was like, oh no, it's him now. He's taking the place of like the third person.
I know, it was just shocking because I don't think they expected that actress to be so
good
and watchable. It's like, oh, we really did care about her and she's been left dead on the street.
And she and Jean-Claude Van Damme had a good chemistry.
Lovely rapport.
Like we're partners in solving a crime. Natalie is just along for the ride.
Yes.
Like it would have been smarter to pair them up.
1,000%. And at a certain point I was like, why are you still here, Nat? Like,
I wrote that.
What's up?
Why is Natalie still here?
Your daddy.
Daddy is
Daddy's dead. Daddy's dead.
She's got to.
Your daddy is deady.
Now, I will
That's
say.
The t-shirt. Your daddy is deady.
I will say the sex scenes between Emile Fouchon and Pick, that is Lance Henderson and Arnold Vissalou, were great. Those are really great. That their relationship, I love, like, they do it in Lethal Weapon 2, where they just call someone by their last name. They're like, what do you think, Mr. Fouchon? Get like I love like yeah. way, like it's the best bad guy way to refer to somebody by their Mr. So and so. Like
it's
you know,
the best. Yes,
I loved it.
I loved all the bad guys knew exactly what movie they were in,
mm-hmm.
and they did the right thing by minimizing Van Damme's dialogue so that he's just a kicking, punching, shooting machine. No quips. No dialogue, no he doesn't have to carry exposition.
Yeah.
Beyond the first act when he has to interact with the toughs at the diner and that stuff, beyond that, he really has basically no lines, which is
wow, I guess that's
awesome.
Right.
I just would have wished they had thought to put his bare butt in it.
But
that was a mistake.
What they do, and I said this in the beginning of the show.
But what they do
is give him the best mullet of all time And I want to pull up
his introduction scene. His introduction scene in the diner where they're focusing on the mullet, the eyes, the earring, before they give you a full shot of him, next level.
I mean, we have some clips of his mullet right here. These are some video, some stills of some mullet look. Here we go. This is how we're introduced to the mullet, from behind.
By the way, I don't mind it at all so far.
It looks wet. I thought it was Aquanet. It might be sweat. Then we get this.
It's just the humidity of Gnarlands.
Gnarlands.
Oh, he's like, I have a crawdad. Give me that crawdad.
If he had a...
Down in the bayou.
If he had a mullet like this, Gnarlands, what would his mullet look like? Because I feel like it would frizz out. This is a... Like, he would have, like, almost a full perm.
I'll say this. My hair is thriving in this
city. Oh, okay. All right.
I bet it is.
Thriving. The humidity is gold for these curls. Are you kidding? He looks dynamite.
Yeah,
except this looks sopping wet. But listen, he's just been in like a full-on fighter. Wow. I got to start wearing my hair like that?
I mean, the way it caresses him.
If I'd really been bold, I would have styled my hair like that for the show.
It was
so interesting because at one point I was like, is there hair up there or is it all just back? There is hair up there, but it's so the entire movie. I mean, at one point he's standing on top of a motorcycle.
Yeah. He's a stone cold hunk.
Absolutely.
By the way,
this guy just is gorgeous.
By the way,
that's the other thing that I was worried about, Paul, with Yancey was I don't know if he felt threatened by her hair.
See, this is a point.
You know?
Yeah.
Because
this scene, we could talk about for the rest of the night.
I want to get into the snake biting thing, but I want to talk about the hair for one more second because I'm realizing that Lance Henriksen has done two movies in which he has played the bad guy with mulleted men, and that is Stone Cold and this.
Wow.
Two very different mullets,
two very different men.
I mean, he's anti-mullet. I guess Lance is the mullet killer, or they are.
I wonder if there's a third that we need to find and do, because that is...
Complete the trilogy.
Complete the Lance Henriksen versus mulleted man trilogy.
I guess you could make a point that Sigourney Weaver kind of has a curly mullet. So that would be Alien.
But he's not against her. He's her ally.
Right. Alien 3, is he against her? I don't know. Again, I lost
I can't him. Express to everybody here how much JCVD's look is accentuated and like worshipped by John Woo's slow-mo. You know,
it
fetishizes him in a way that is so impactful for the movie. How they'll go to slow-mo arbitrarily. Just... In any way, for any motion.
Paying for gumbo. Yeah.
It's true, because there were many times I was like, oh, we're in slow-mo, like, June, look alive. And I'd watch the scene, and then I'd think, I don't know why we were in
slow-mo
for that.
It is interesting because John Woo is primarily known for, like, gun action, and Jean-Claude Van Damme is known for, like, thigh and leg action. And so what I did like was the bridging of the gap, which is he pulls back his trench coat like a cowboy would reveal a six-shooter just to reveal his upper thigh.
That was amazing.
Again, it's incredible.
That was amazing.
Because there are a lot of there are a lot of Western tropes inside of this.
Yes.
And it's great, and I love it. But that's a perfect one because what he's showing off and showcasing isn't his gun. He's like, when you're ready to go, my leg's ready. My leg's ready for kicking.
So
my leg
wonderful.
Is loaded.
Locked and loaded.
He takes, at one point, I feel like somebody else's leg. Like, he takes the head of somebody. Like he doesn't even use his own body to beat up two guys. Like he just holds one guy's head and slams it into another guy's leg. I feel like there's like a moment.
There are so many scenes where Jean-Claude Van Damme kicks and punches men in helmets that are meant to survive high impact accidents, and that would one man is coming at him on a motorcycle. At like, I don't know, 25, 30 miles an hour. Jean-Claude Van Damme is like, quabam! And takes the guy out, helmet style. Jean-Claude Van Damme's shin or whatever would have disintegrated. He, at that speed coming at him, he would have been like, kablam, and his entire leg would have been like dust.
Yeah.
Well, that's does that at least 10 times in the movie.
Yeah, and that's what's interesting about the movie is, like, we're showcasing different types of weapons. You know, rifles that have arrows in them, actual bow and arrows, guns, machine guns.
That grenades.
And grenades and JCVD's thighs.
Yes.
Like, it's... They're really
no ass,
set up
but
as
thighs.
The scariest.
Oh, and JCVD is also... He can wield a shotgun. He can wield a handgun upside down. Bam, 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 bam. Well, I was like, you can't aim this way. No way.
I felt like there was a point in this movie where John Woo gave up and said, fuck it, we're going to guns again.
Yeah.
Like, he was like, we did your legs. Let's go do what I'm good at. Like, I got you the two shots with your legs. Let's go guns. Because there are some great gunfights in here, and it is odd because you don't really see JCVD working with guns. I will say this. Throughout watching this, and I know JCVD, and he's an attractive man, you said.
You know
him well?
No, I don't know him well, no.
Wait, are you best friends with JCVD?
I would ask your daddy.
I just am at the point in my notes where I wrote, all caps, he keeps using the word daddy.
Don't use daddy.
But listen, what I wanted to discuss was Yancey's fashions, because they were really scratching an itch to me. Like, I haven't seen white tights. And, like, seeing white tights and a French braid just really, and, like, a Coach bag, brown Coach bag, for me, it really scratched an itch.
I also love, inside of a lot of the... moments of importance, a lot of the moments of like fight explosions and little montages and stuff. This movie has one of my favorite tropes that we find in our movies, which is searing electric guitar solos over the action.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like once that fight outside the diner starts, it's like, but it's got like a real bayou vibe here.
Now, speaking of the bayou.
Yeah.
Speaking of the bayou. No gators in this movie.
No gators, which I was shocked by. I don't know horses to live in the bayou, but I don't know that they don't also. So that could be...
A lot of bayou horses.
I think there are horses in the bayou.
Great. But I'm also like... the fact that we just accept the information that JCVD grew up in the bayou...
I couldn't tell if that was the case, but my assumption is yes.
No, but he says that.
Well,
he says I was raised.
I mean, he grew up.
Wilford Brimley is his uncle, or just does he refer to him?
His uncle, and he was raised in the bayou.
This is Lance Hendrickson explaining JCVD's background.
Silver Star, Marine Force Recon. He joined the merchant service after he got out. His captain was smuggling opium.
This pose, incredible.
When Boudreau found out, he threw the man overboard. He's been looking for work ever since. He's obviously not someone we should underestimate.
He was raised in the bayous by his uncle.
Oh.
I think Mr. Boudreau would make a very interesting quarry. Maybe I should pay him a visit.
No. Send a couple of lads down there to have a chat with him, won't you, Pat?
Yeah.
I love this movie.
So good.
Perfect.
I love that they're
perfect
on two
film.
Couches having this conversation.
Perfect. They're not looking at each other. John Woo's framing it so you see both of their faces, and they're not looking at each other, which is actually so smart because they're great.
And they're just talking about this man. How did he get this information? They grew up with his uncle. How would that be on file? How would they get that so quickly? Why is JCVD on the second porch balcony reading a coroner's report, standing? It seems uncomfortable to look through photos and read evidence when you can't put anything on a table.
JCVD feels in this moment, the way this movie cuts together, it's as if he's listening to them. He feels as though he... And late in the movie, JCVD has a series of flashbacks for scenes he was
not in. Oh, okay. I don't
and they do that a lot, where he has information or knowledge that we, the audience, have, but he, Chance, does not.
By the way, it's like Spaceballs when they pull up the movie of Spaceballs. So, like, he has access to Hard Target, the movie. He's like, what happened? I need to find out before I do this next. Got it. Now, I will tell you this. Nate Kiley does all of our research for this, and he's amazing. So this movie, apparently, when delivered, was a Lance Henriksen movie. It was more focused on Lance Henriksen.
Like,
it was
like the guy who runs the hunt and blah, blah, blah.
And JCVD was like, oh, the thorn in my side. And JCVD saw it and was like, the fuck? I'm JCVD. And he recut the movie to cut Lance down and out, or to a smaller role. But I do love that John Woo signed on and was like, you're in the JCVD business, I'm in the Lance Henriksen business.
Yeah.
And it, what got released is kind of a nice mix, because he does carry himself like a lead.
He really does.
Yeah. And he's the more compelling, it's the more compelling performance.
Here's where, when I first was introduced to his character, I was like, he's so fascinating to watch. But it's also like, at the end of the day, he is a bad guy, but he's also an entrepreneur.
Yes.
And he is doing
this. He sees a hole in the market.
Yes.
And he
sees the white space. And he goes to fill it. And I'm like, okay. So, and then towards the end, he really is. He is.
He's a hunting disruptor. Most people are out here hunting animals. He's like, what? Check me.
And then he started WeWork.
But then at the end, he's also like creating this fire sale special for all of the past customers to come in.
But he's
in.
Charging them. Like, he got into some shit. He's like, you have to pay for this. Like, he made them pay. It was great.
He had the whole third act. JCVD kills conservatively 4 dozen bad guys. Lance Henriksen seems to have unlimited bad guys on retainer, all of whom have wild outfits on.
And
thank
that's
you,
why,
for
honestly,
coming.
I wish we could get Marcus Lemonis on this show.
From the Prophet. You want to sell the hunt?
From the Prophet on MSNBC, because how much of a margin is he making?
He was like,
paying off the coroner. He's paying Pick. He's playing
the
two motorcycle guys.
And also, all of those dogs, all of the heavies must be making.
He's also having to, every once in a while, pick up his entire operation and move it to a different country, which
absolutely
has to be cutting into his margin.
Oh, well, especially if you're taking all those guys. That's food. That's per diem.
Well, see, that's where Marcus Lemonis could come in. He could hook them up with Simply Greek. He could hook them up with his sporting goods store for all their weapons.
But guys, what you're not realizing is this. The way he cuts the overhead is by shooting them in the face. That's the way he makes back his money.
His gun is a pistol?
It's a musket.
That shoots, one of these dummies knows that we're in the South, there's a gun nut here. What is he shooting? It's not a shotgun, that's what I wrote too, but those aren't
shotguns.
It's
like a musket, right?
It's not a musket, it's a pistol that shoots what? One of you raise your hand or I will come
right
there.
I see somebody there. Hold on. I got this person. I'm going to give it to you right there. Yes.
It's a contender pistol. It's a single shot break barrel pistol. They sold them in a number of calibers, but that one in particular is a 45-70
of course,
round,
which is a giant
round they used to hunt buffalo. It goes back to like the 1850s. It's a massive bullet.
This guy's our gun guy.
Thank you for showing me that gentleman back there.
It's interesting you say that, because what I thought about that, and I wrote it in my notes, is this gun could have been a contender.
Can I just show my favorite scene in the movie? Because, again, I talked about what makes a great bad guy. We have a moment where Lance Henriksen is calling Pick by his last name. This is the scene that brought it home.
And is Pick's last name Van Cleef? I believe.
His name is Pick Van Cleef.
And
yes.
That is, this movie is constantly referencing, John Woo is constantly referencing Once Upon a Time in the West.
Yes.
He's doing like the close-up of the eyes, like the Henry Ford shot. He's constantly
close-up
doing
of the mullet.
Callbacks. Yeah, exactly. He's doing callbacks to that movie, and Lee Van Cleef is in that movie.
Yes.
So this not is Henry Ford, Pick, Lee Van Cleef. Yeah, Lee Van
Pick
Cleef.
Van Cleef.
Yeah.
So this is the scene. Forget the fact that they're talking about don't contact us on Telex. I don't know what the fuck Telex is. I understand that, yes, you shouldn't probably talk about hunting a human on a fax machine, but watching Lance Henriksen play a piano like he's hard fucking.
Yeah. And then the best part of it is when it cuts back to him and he turns around to tell the guy, hey, are you ready to hunt a human being? The piano is closed. The keyboard is closed. The cover is over the keys. I was like, okay.
He was done. Here, take a look at, you can even hear it in the way he plays.
You'll deposit $500,000 in our account
in a bank in the Cayman Islands. Do not refer to our agreement by telex or in conversations on the phone. You'll be provided with a guide.
So angry.
Tractors and the weapon of your choice. Naturally, we'll dispose of the body and provide you with an out-of-town, airtight alibi. Don't worry, Mr. Zanon. All you have to do is point and shoot.
Keyboard open.
Oh, and then
oh, we don't. It reverses and it's closed. Anyway.
But he is looking at himself in the mirror while playing a piano, and he's not looking at the keys. It is like Bishop from Alien doing that knife game. Like, pop, 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 pop.
I feel like it is him fucking.
Yo, yes.
It's like this is a sex scene for him.
Yeah.
Where he's just like, I'm not even going to look at you. I'm going to jump doing my thing.
Yeah. This is the only sex scene in the movie.
Yes.
And it's the best sex scene I've ever seen.
Oh, that's why. Definitely. Yeah, that's why I had to finish it today. I came in this scene, fell asleep.
I know.
And like, had to get up today and be like, I guess I'm going to watch the rest of them.
Yeah. I mean, our kids are traveling with us right now. And I was like, guys, don't come in. Not right now.
I have to say this. There is, I just want to talk about the game, the most dangerous game. Because I guess what I really find odd about this movie is, it's so one-sided. Like, it's like, hey, do you want me to put like a puppy in front of you and give you a shotgun? Like at one point, a guy almost starts aiming at the game before the game even starts. Like, hey, put the gun down, buddy.
I love that like, guy is like, he looks like a dentist from Cleveland, and he's wearing just like a regular trench coat, and but has like a super high-tech gun. It's like, they're off. It's not just people who were like trained for this. They just seem to have the money and are like, oh, give
they're
me a
hobbyists.
Gun and I'll shoot a guy.
Well, it also seems like we're all okay with humans hunting other humans. We just wish it were more evenly
Fair.
Matched. Yeah.
We are I guess 10 years away from this being a reality.
I mean, in my mind, I guess like the thought would be like, wouldn't it be fun? No, not for me. But wouldn't the thing be like, oh, you actually have to track this person, you have to do it. It's like they really just, I guess maybe that's what hunting
is.
That's
right,
what hunting is. The dogs get the animals into an area where it's...
And then flush them out.
Yeah, exactly. But I think what you're saying, though, is true, which is it should be that they are marketing this to skilled hunters. And that doesn't seem to be the case. It seems that they are just trying to sell this to people who want to kill people.
It's like
that is different.
Like hunter.
They are marketing this to people who like want the thrill of ending a human
life,
not who want the challenge of hunting the most dangerous.
And when you see the weapons, you're like, why do they have such good weapons but are such bad hunters? Like there's one hunter who is dressed in like striped like Zubaz pants from like the Super Bowl in 1986. And he's hunting while smoking a cigar, which is a surefire way of, like, they're hunting a human. They can smell that cigar. Like, that's not like, that's not going to be good for stealth.
They're also, and this really, I cannot overstate this enough, they are doing it in the city of New Orleans. They're not, their hunting party, cars. I mean, Lance Hendrickson is in a convertible. The other guys are in a truck. The dogs are on motorcycles, and they're not like out in the bayou. They're not out in the country.
No,
they're not chasing people through the bogs and marshes of this area. They are like on Bourbon Street. Midday, hunting, blowing people away. And I think the reason that the movie introduces the police strike is that it's lawless.
Oh, but
the city is just lawless.
But it also is like, and no tourism. Like, literally, there's no one on these streets. When they kill that guy, like, didn't you forget to say goodbye to me? Boom, blows his head off. And then, by the way, he goes to blow that guy's head off and brings, like, 12 people with him. Like, he had these people are all about unfair advantages. It's like, I'm gonna just go blow a guy's head off. Can I get like 12 guys just to get my back on this one, just in case? Like, and that guy is my favorite guy, the guy that they karate chop in the belly, get
Holy
up,
shit.
Fat buck. Where Lance,
I'm obsessed with how he sleeps. I've never seen an adult
sleep. He needs a CPAP machine.
Big time. Well, first of all, I'm like, was that an afternoon nap, or was that? Because he's sleeping fully clothed with both arms up.
And, oh, he's starfishing that bed hard.
For sure. But I was fascinated by it because I'm like, oh, when I used to watch like our children sleep as babies, you know, lots of times they would put both arms up. And it's one of the most vulnerable positions you could find yourself in.
Now, what if I said the same sentence? When I used to watch your children sleep when they were babies...
But
is it a
it
suite?
Was such an interesting character
when I used
choice.
To watch your, are you guys leaving?
No, there's the bar is open.
Oh, okay.
Oh, like, they're out.
What? Well,
Whoa.
They are leaving?
Yeah,
wow,
they're
they
leaving.
Only
okay.
gave them some.
Get,
all right,
okay,
there.
Okay, we love you too. If two people
Quite
want to
right.
come from the back, two seats
yeah,
in the
two
front
seats.
Just opened up.
Back row. Let's turn on the house lights. Oh,
they
whoa.
Had to, oh.
Wow, they really only.
You know
wow.
what? I totally understand that they have to go, and that's fine. We started a little late, but you know what? I really appreciated that he loved us.
I did
too. And you know
too.
What? I'm willing to say I love you back.
Thank
yes.
you. Thank
People
you for leaving
go,
with some love.
People have to go. Babysitters, I get it.
Babysitters, dinner reservations, hour 45. We're out.
These guys
Understood.
Win.
Understood.
Now your seat. Now those seats are open.
Well, I will say this: that guy, they cut off his ear. They beat him up a lot. But I do want to talk about two things. About that guy. First of all, one of the badass and weird moves to me was Lance Hendrickson washing his hand in his fishbowl, which felt more unsanitary from Lance's side. Like, I'll wash my hand
Lance
in your fishbowl, you fat
leaves,
fuck. Like,
leaves so much evidence at every crime scene. His blood is in the fishbowl. At one
well, there's
point
no
when,
police, Jason. You have to remember they're
true.
On
at
strike.
At one point, he takes the bullet casing out of his gun after he shoots a guy in the cemetery and just throws it on the ground.
To make sure he touches it
trail.
Before, yeah, he doesn't shake it out. The other thing that got me is this man who is constantly beat up by Lance Hendrickson, he runs, he basically gives people flyers to pass out for phone sex lines. But when the wide-eyed girl... finds it in her dad's like luggage. She's so shocked, and I couldn't tell, is she shocked that she thinks her dad is doing phone sex? Running a phone sex line.
I think she's just shocked by the imagery and the,
okay.
the craziness of it, so much so that someone has to say to her, Chance Boudreau says to her, don't worry, he passed these out for money. This
yeah.
is not...
The one thought I had during this movie, because they get lost in the bayou at one point, and it's the most manicured bayou I've ever seen. Like, it is a full trailhead. And she's like, oh my God, I can't walk anymore. I'm like, you're walking by like the Children's Museum of New Orleans here. Like, this is a paved area. She's like, oh God, I can't stand the bayou. And I was like, wouldn't it be great if they were just wearing shorts? Like, Jean-Claude Van Damme in like short shorts, like Magnum shorts would have been great. I would have liked it. You know.
I did love the undercurrent storyline, which is the homeless are fundamentally ignored.
Yes.
Like the
yes.
people of this city, the poor people of this city are constantly being victimized, and the homeless especially when Elijah is being hunted, And yes. He's in the middle of, I'm going to say Bourbon Street, but you know, that area.
He's
of
in the North, French Quarter.
He's in the French, exactly. That's, I'm sorry, that's what I wasn't remembering. And he is there, and there's so many people, and he's just trying to get them to help, and they won't help him.
Now, in Marigny, that would happen, but not in the French Quarter.
And then no, that he scene is haunting. A I mean, thousand times.
That scene is absolutely haunting, it's and really, so well done.
It is a great scene, and you know who's in that scene? Sam Raimi.
Oh, Sam Raimi's a producer on this movie.
And I found out from Nate that the Universal Studios was so nervous about John Woo directing an English film that they made Sam Raimi stay on set every day just in case he fucked up.
Oh, that's interesting. Well, yeah. Was this John Woo's first American movie?
Yes, first English language film.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So, and I saw that, I kind of jumped.
Should we do Broken Arrow?
Yeah. Then we would do three.
Travolta, Christian Slater.
Let's do it.
Samantha Mathis.
But love Samantha Mathis.
But he Samantha Mathis. Oh, pump up the volume, guys.
One of the best.
We'll never do it because it's flawless.
It's great.
Yeah, that's for Unspooled. I guess that's Paul and Amy will tackle that.
But
maybe
we could
you
do Cuffs.
Talk to Paul Thomas Anderson about pump up the volume.
PTA wants to do Cuffs.
He wants to do Cuffs? Christian Slater's other movie? Where he's a police adjacent
a
character.
Real deep cut. Again, we're cutting all of this. When his buddy gets shot in the French Quarter, it's in the mid. Everything's happening. It's like you said, it is a beautiful shot, and no one seems to worry. Like because Pick like just goes up to the body. He's like, hey, what's going on here? Then just take this money.
The bad guys are not fazed at all by the fact that they've committed a murder in broad daylight in the French Quarter. There's tourists everywhere. I'm assuming because the police are on strike.
I guess.
Pick walks up with his Spyderco knife, and he's like, that guy gets it. And he's like, zip, get, boop, take the 10 grand, we're walking away. They New Orleans in this movie, and even still today, is ... lawless?
I was really curious about the 10 grand belt. And just like, oh, that's interesting. Is that belt, I mean, Jason, you'll surely have something to say about this, but was it made for money, like a little money belt? Or
they call it a money belt, and there's such a thing as a money belt.
Yeah, there's a money belt, but there are not
there
belts.
There are money belts. There are belts that have tools in them built into the belt.
Well, but there's not a belt like that.
Oh, we're getting into gear talk now.
We
that's
are talking
cumbersome.
About gear, but
isn't
where
that just
every...
a tool belt?
Yeah, because this belt, was, I was like, oh, it must be repurposed as a 10 grand money belt. But there's no way you're making, a manufacturer is making a belt that just has pouches all around it for money.
What I think is that it's a belt. Yes, I think you're right. I don't think it is meant to be a giant 10
money
grand,
belt.
But I think it is something that has been made to hold to be a...
Different things.
Doesn't Charles Grodin...
Or it is custom, they made it so that it could hold that amount
doesn't
of money.
Charles Grodin...
I don't think they sell it like... I don't think you could order it from Amazon, the 10
grand
belt.
I'm curious.
Well, you never know. Amazon Basics
Although,
might have it.
SDR
I will say this.
Travel does make a tote bag or a kit bag that holds $1 million in U.S. currency.
Wow.
Really?
But wait, doesn't Charles Grodin in Midnight Run have about $10,000 in his money belt?
Yes.
So there you go. It works.
Money
no one questions
hold,
it
money
then.
Belts, money belts can hold what, I mean, it's just a matter of...
The denominations.
If you have enough high bills, you can fit more in it.
It wasn't all singles. Now, if it was singles, it would be that would probably be...
Well, New Orleans, a city that runs on singles.
But here's the thing.
You're disgusting.
They're hunting through the bayou, and this is maybe... there's so
and
many things to talk about.
Let's not say hunting. They're murdering through the bayou.
And Jean-Claude Van Damme fights a lot of people, but he also fights a fucking snake. Let's take a look at this moment where he fights a snake. This was, to me, I did not know about this moment. And again, another jaw dropper. And this is after the motorcycle scene, which we haven't even talked about yet.
This blew my mind, especially because of the way he introduces it slowly by saying, close your eyes.
You trust me?
Of course I trust you.
Close your eyes.
Why do you want me to trust you with my eyes closed?
Close your eyes.
This whole time, the snake is right there. He knows it. They're taking their time. Big eyes.
Is it dead?
Yes. Paul, is there any way we can rewind?
What are you doing?
I'm leaving a surprise for my friends.
This suggests he's done this before.
He rips off the rattle part of the snake like ripping off a shrimp tail. It's like a crawfish.
I have a question for our gun guy, because I somehow feel like he'll know. Do you guys have rattlesnakes here? Okay, cool. Just making sure. Because we have them in LA. I see them in California all the time, but it's a desert climate. So I was like, oh, go ahead.
I'm less concerned about the rattlesnake, and I'm more concerned about how he saw it. Because the way the rattlesnake is positioned is, he's like, close your eyes. And I think the way that we would think is that it's coming down like this. But the snake is coming up her back like peekaboo, peekaboo. But it's like, what is it holding on to? A snake doesn't rise up like an elevator. Like,
well,
and how would you see?
I assumed it was in the tree above.
I thought it was in the tree coming down.
It was coming down, like.
But it's coming above. It's coming over her shoulder.
Yeah.
It's coming above her shoulder. It's like.
Yeah, but they can do that.
How? Where's their tail?
June, what do you know about rattlesnakes?
Well, I don't know a whole lot. But I feel like, isn't that the whole thing about snakes? That they're like one giant muscle, so they can kind of like contract.
One giant muscle.
Yeah.
But wait, it's got a balance on something.
Yeah, I think there's a I think the bottom was on a branch somewhere.
I think it's in a tree.
It sort of worked its way up.
But they're
up.
On land.
What do you mean?
They are, but I think there's trees behind them somewhere.
I think it's coming out of the tree.
Got it. Okay,
I think
there's
so
a low-limbed branch.
Is it tree snakes? What do you guys think? What? Hold on, this lady knows.
Okay.
Okay.
June is right.
Thank you.
Snake is all muscle.
Yes.
Case closed.
Yeah.
Just like Nolan's cops. No need to
investigate
further.
Let's not investigate any further. She said June's right.
Isn't the study of snakes herpetology?
Well, it came to the right person. That's how they were attracted.
Right? Got it?
Okay.
Maybe that's what happened to Nat.
And now, I don't know if when you're... I do actually want to know. So if anyone has this information, please share. When you encounter a snake and intend to kind of subdue it or kill it, do you... You give it a... To
smack.
Like, yeah,
then
a little smack.
Then you punch
and
it.
And then you punch. Because I was like, oh, that's interesting. Is he trying to disorient it?
I think he's trying to stun it,
that's
not
the
kill it.
Okay, so he couldn't, right, but I guess my question is like, why not only punch?
Oh, because it'd bite him, I think.
Oh, so he slaps it to close its mouth.
He hits his head first down, so it's like, whoa. Then he's like, bonk, which makes it, I believe, unconscious. So that he can set it as a trap for the guys later.
It definitely looked like it had been knocked out.
He approaches the fight with the snake the same way that he approaches the fight with Mr. Pig.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, but that's a serious question. Like, does that seem accurate?
Do we have any herpetologists in the room?
Has anyone bitch slapped and then punched a snake in the face? Somebody raised their hand. And that you get on the big gator tours. The good gator tours, you get to do that. The 5-hour ones.
A real missed opportunity, no gators in this movie. For this area, I was like, for sure we're going to get some gators.
Well, I mean, they spent all their money on the motorcycle budget because as we're talking about the snake scene, we have to talk about this scene where he's on the run, he's on a motorcycle. We have established he doesn't know how to drive, but yet he knows how to fucking drive a motorcycle. I guess he knows how to drive a motorcycle. We'll see in a second. But he's on a chase. The bridge goes out, or it's under construction, and this is the moment that I'm really confused at. He takes Yancey and goes, you stay here. From what I understand in this movie, she would be engulfed in flames at the end of this scene. But he puts her in harm's way and then does this. Yancey is engulfed in flames and dead because that truck explodes right where he said, stay here, you'll be safe. She has no chance of life or survival after that.
My only note on this scene, the only thing I have to say about it, is I was bummed that he didn't forward roll over the car.
Yeah.
You know, there's you think he tried? Well, because there are some great somersaults in this movie, but here I was like,
in that close-up, he is trying to do the forward fall, but the stuntman couldn't do it.
Yeah.
Like, that's what you're seeing.
Stuntman.
Like, rewind it. Beth, rewind it just a second, because we watch away just a little bit. You see, like, all right, watch, because you'll see he is trying to, like, that's a forward roll.
He's going into it.
Right, but then watch a stuntman. Watch this here. Okay, so that's forward roll.
He's trying to plan.
Right, but he's going sideways.
By the way, that's a fucking nuts.
That's amazing.
Nuts.
That's an insane stunt. The stuntman, I think, tried to land on his feet.
Oh, wait a second. While we're frozen here, what's his watch doing?
One's a compass. That's a compass. And the other side's a calculator.
Like, what's his watch? Is it a compass?
Compass, calculator, and watch. That's what he's got on there.
What? I mean, like, honest to God, I'm just noticing this for the first time. It's the first time I'm seeing this on the big screen. It's better. And I'm genuinely like, what's up with this watch?
By the way, can rewind it one more time, Beth, because you know what? We can keep the show a little bit longer. Just rewind it a little bit. I want to see when you see him go forward, you see another man's face.
The stunt people in
this
movie are
great. The other man's face is great. It's right about, let's see, maybe a second before. It's right about right before you see his face. Hold on. Yeah, we're getting there. Maybe a second. Oh, wait. Yeah, just try. Okay, right. So his face.
This is incredible.
Right. Here's his face. Pip play. Let's just see if we can get to it. Another face. Right there. Yeah. If you rewind that, you get that, you'll see another face fully. It's like stuntman from Mel Gibson. There, yeah, that guy. Yeah. That is.
It looks like Jay Leno. It looks like Jay Leno, denim on denim, standing on top of a motorcycle.
Listen, God bless that stuntman.
Yeah, I do some stunts. I don't use my Tonight Show money. I just do stunts. I use all my stunt money instead.
In my spare time, they said they wanted to rent my motorcycles and my trucks.
Oh, well, I mean, before we get to the audience, we got to talk about one other thing,
I have so many more notes, but yeah, go ahead.
Thank God for Wilford Brimley.
Oh. I wrote in my notes, like, we're so far into the movie, and I said, where's Wilford Brimley?
I was actually worried. I'm like...
You were worried that he might not be in the movie?
I was, because I was so excited when I saw his name in the beginning, and I was like, it was really quite some time till he shows up.
No, Wilford Brimley...
This right here, this frame right here highlights something I want to talk about. Swipe edits. This movie has full swipe edits throughout that are...
Like Star Wars.
Love them.
That are from 30s and 40s serials. It's fucking nuts.
I loved it.
When they meet Wilford Brimley, at first it just looked like an old man. And I will say this. What I know about Wilford Brimley is he's got a very distinctive, kind of the most Americana accent. I'm going to tell you some shit, and this is it. You know, and it's like, and so when he opens his mouth in this movie, my jaw...
Yeah, it was shocking.
...done dropped.
Yeah.
Because I don't know what... Is this Creole? Is this French? Is this like some bastard? I don't even know. I want to get to the audience what they think of this too, but I guess it's a Creole accent. Take a listen.
We fix him up good. Put bandage on it, no hurt. Be strong, my boy.
Duvet, I've got some people after me.
I know. I can smell them.
You still got a 30-06, the one I gave you for your birthday?
No. A Gatorade it.
In and out.
But,
out.
I still got your shotgun. These men will chase after you.
He is like...
mad at you for business or pleasure.
We can pause it for a second. He's made a choice, and he's regretting it. He's in and out of it. I
want to say something that is completely insane.
Yeah.
In this movie, right here, Wilford Brimley is 9 years older than me. Currently.
Wow.
In this movie, that actor is 9 years older than I am currently. What's happening? How wild is that?
Now, how's your Creole accent?
Oh, them gone gators got my crawdad. Oh, them po'boys and them gators and them crawdads.
All right, so Jason and I watch movies and subtitles. June, I know you don't like it, but we're millennials, so that's what we do.
I've actually started to do a pub.
This is a moment that I saw that I couldn't hear, but it was on the screen. This is Lance Henriksen when he's upset with one of the people. When the man is attacked by a snake, this is what I see. I'll fuck you, then I'll eat you.
I heard him say this.
Yeah, he said that.
I was shocked. I rewound it 3 times and took a picture of it just because I was like, I'll fuck you and then I'll eat you?
Incredible stuff.
I feel like that was improvised.
I was just going to say, I guarantee that's a Lance Henriksen improvised line because why would you do it in that order?
Fuck you and then I'll eat you.
I guess I work up an appetite after fucking you, so I gotta chomp, chomp, eat you?
I mean, this is from the guy whose big line in the third act of the movie is, hey! Like, he just yells, hey. That's a guy, I don't got it. He does it twice. Hey! hey, how are you? Like, I guess it's a nice moment of just pure desperation, but he's so eloquent throughout that I would love to have had him yell something else. Like, he runs out of good lines as the movie goes on.
One of my, again, I have so few critiques of this movie, so this is really the only one. I did wish his death was a little bit better at the end.
Yes.
Lance Henriksen.
Lance Henriksen. I was like, the grenade, I want a kick. You know, I want a...
Agreed. Well, you want a line. Like, I want that grenade to go in his pants and then go... nuts.
What? And okay,
like, you know,
perhaps, and
that's what I wanted.
I agree with you 100% because here's the thing: Van Damme, known for his physicality, his kicks, his punches, that's what he's. And so, yes, in this movie, he's got a lot of gunplay, shotgun, handguns, all that stuff. Okay, I'm on board. But the final death,
final
being
moment,
a grenade felt like blunt, too clunky and clumsy to me in a way that I was like, uh-oh, there's a grenade in my pants.
You wanted him to kick his neck off or something like that. Like, you wanted the throat rip equivalent. Like, you needed the last leg, like the kick.
I wanted JCVD to kick Lance Henriksen's head off of his body.
Yeah. I see a lot of notes, a lot of handwritten notes. I want you to introduce yourself in your best Wilford Brimley accent and just say, hi, my name is this, and my question is this. All right, so here we go.
Hi, my name is Caroline.
Right.
And my question is, like, 3 or 4 times throughout the movie, birds seem to help Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Okay.
Oh, did anyone...
This is signature John Woo doves and pigeons. This is one of John Woo's artistic signatures, which is slow motion doves and, in this case, pigeons. And in this case, they are actively helping Jean-Claude Van Damme find clues, do stuff. It's as if they are his allies in the thing. But it is also part of John Woo's filmmaking if you watch the rest of his
But movie. But what's tough about that is, like, doves are one thing, but pigeons are so disgusting. That every time, like, when that pigeon was sitting on his shoulder, I was like, you need to bathe for 1 week.
I sent you guys that picture.
Yes, it was
the only picture I took of the screen was when Jean-Claude Van Damme winks at the pigeon on his shoulder. I was like, they have more chemistry than him and Nat.
True. And the other thing is, I do think he is able to do bird calls with his uncle that's their special, hi, it's me, knock, 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 knock. That's their special signal that it's all clear. But I thought he was actually communicating with the pigeons, like actually communicating through calls.
Do you think that pigeon...
I think you might be right.
Was a cop?
Like, the pigeons are like his greatest ally until Wilford Brimley arrives.
I mean, the pigeon doing what you just said, coming in and helping him find clues, is wild.
Again, the police force is down, so someone had to step up. It was the pigeons.
There it is. What is your name and your best Cajun accent and your question?
Well, I am George Michael. My question is that, a Warner Brothers executive said that, like, Lance Hendrickson and also, I believe his name is Arnold Vosloo, they had great chemistry. The executive said that, like, the person, like, they regret not having a movie with them. If you could have a movie with them, would you want them to be a villain, like a villain duo that wins in the end, or a buddy, like, cop comedy kind of thing going on?
Oh, I think I see what you mean. For me, I would have loved, I guess there is a world in which the movie could have existed where the franchise is them. They kill JCVD at the end of this movie. They win, and they go and set up in, where were they saying, Eastern Europe they were going to go to next? And the next movie is them in Eastern Europe versus Stallone, or them in Eastern Europe versus Nicolas Cage, or them in, that the franchise is built around the bad guys. Wouldn't that be cool?
Love that idea. I still really struggle with the fact that they don't play fair. I mean, we haven't even talked about the opening scene when Daddy dies, but Daddy does, you know, they set up the rules, like, if he gets to the river, he wins.
Yes.
But he got there.
Yeah. Oh, his fingernails on the dock. The sound of his fingernails
there,
on the dock
though,
was harrowing.
This is a question for everybody, but first to June and Jason. Is the river the dock or the river? Like, is the dock
Paul.
Well, here's the thing.
Paul. He says if he gets the river, and he's honestly beyond the river. He's more than at the river.
He's
over the river.
He's above the river on the dock, so the river is underneath. So he certainly has reached the river's limits. And then he falls into the river itself.
Yes.
Well, guys, we just wanted you to hear this because this guy's yelled it out four times. Here, I'm going to come back to you. You yell it out. Okay, here we go. Just yell what you've just been yelling.
His feet fell through. He hit the river.
Okay, there we go.
Okay. Carhartt overalls has that to say.
You have the question.
But I guess the thing is, the challenge wasn't submerge your body in the river. It was get to it.
I agree. Once you get to the rivers, once you pass
they
the...
They don't play by the rules.
And I don't like that.
They play
dirty.
They play dirty.
Wait, hold on. We have a bad guy defender. What do you say?
Oh, I'm just saying there's a geography technicality because he starts in the French Quarter. The very next shot, he's on the West Bank. There's no way to get there without being in the river.
There it is. He had to be in a river.
So you're saying he kind of lapped the river, like he had been there twice?
There's no way to cross that shit.
Oh, yeah. I see. Okay, so you have to know New Orleans geography in order to understand the technicality of the beginning of the movie?
I'm so upset.
So you're telling me this movie only really works in this city?
Well, listen, I think what we're learning, or I guess this is my question, you know, does anyone ever get away? I mean, they've been in business for years. No.
No, I don't think so. Nobody's gotten that $10,000 because they play dirty.
Although it did feel like when Perry shot that guy, they didn't seem shocked by it. So that may happen a few times too. But I bet you they still take the $10,000 and kill him, because when Perry killed the hunter, they're like, kill him. They weren't like, he gets the $10,000. It was like, kill him.
Yeah.
Now it's time for second opinions.
Hot Target, a five-star movie. JCVD kicking with ease. Hunting homeless veterans through New Orleans, because it's a hot Target, hot Target.
Amazing. What's
great
your
work.
Name?
Great work.
My name's Jesse, and like that guy that left earlier, I also love you guys, but I'm still here.
Thank you, Jesse.
Nice work,
you can
Jesse.
Walk down the stairs. These are five-star reviews culled from Amazon. There are 3,057
well,
reviews.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
4.6 out of 5 stars is the average. That's 76% are 5 star, 2% are 1 star. And these are the weirdest ones compiled by Nate Kiley. All right, so here we go. This one starts off from Gloria back in 2020. My husband loves this movie. He just can't get enough of it. Which I find weird. But it's Van Damme. 5 stars, best movie of all time.
This one's for the husbands.
This one is from Frankie D from 2013. This is one of the best Jean-Claude Van Damme movies ever, because most of his movies are crap. He cannot act, and he does the same fight scenes over and over in all of his movies. This was good because it was John Woo, the slow motion style and the two guns and a whole lot of shooting. Van Damme was serviceable. He didn't really mesh well with Woo because Van Damme likes to do a lot of kicks and Woo likes guns. Overall, it was a good movie. 5 stars. One of the best Van Damme movies ever. Just didn't get that was gonna be 5 stars. Really came in there. This one I like from Evans Frederick from 2017. This is my favorite actor, JCVD. I like this movie so much. I remember when I was 14 years old and that this movie came to a theater close to me. I mean, back home. 5 stars. Also, this gentleman, Scotty, kind of missed the point of the review when he goes, not exactly a complaint. Well, this is a review section, so not either. But the package I got contained 4 Jean-Claude Van Damme movies, not just Hard Target. But it did include Hard Target, so I ain't mad. 5 stars.
Can you imagine the joy when you order Hard Target and 3 other JCVD movies are in the package? What a delight. That's Christmas come early.
I mean, 100%. And this is one that I thought was disturbing. From DeJour Thomas. He writes this. I love watching this movie with my mom. I used to reenact the scenes with my toy pop gun. 5 stars.
I did love that in this movie, all bullets seemed to explode to the level of
like a
landmine every time they hit.
I mean,
every
one bullet blew up a
fired
house.
Triggers a legitimate explosion.
Yeah, during the warehouse scene at the end, there's a container that takes off like a rocket.
Yeah,
it truly
from just a single shot. It just is like
it goes up though.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
It doesn't even explode.
No,
it
no,
just,
yeah, yeah, exactly. It jumps
wild.
Up in the air.
But yet this movie does the best stuntman trick of all time. Motorcycles, snake punches, exploding rockets, houses. They have the budget, but they didn't have enough budget to do one scene where they just fly into moving boxes. Just yeah. a wall of like a moving truck and then just moving boxes. Like, oh, we crash into the moving boxes? Like, that's like when you have no money to do stunts, you fall into moving boxes. I thought that was fun and cheap. Some facts from Nate Kiley here. Van Damme would insist on having one of the cameras focused on his muscles at all times. Wu complied.
By the way,
but never use that footage.
I need to make that part of my contract.
Yeah, you got to put that in your writer.
I need people to like be. I need there to be an extra camera just trained on my bod.
Yeah, figure it out. I mean, line producer, work it in the budget. It's not my problem.
Budget, $18 million. Opening weekend, $10 million. Domestic gross, $32 million. Worldwide gross, $74 million.
Great. Did work wonderful.
It comes out the same year as Jurassic Park, Mrs. Doubtfire, The Fugitive. It came in 48th. It was beaten by Demolition Man. And it beat Super Mario Brothers, Look Who's Talking Now, Surf Ninjas, Mr. Nanny, and Airborne. That's a big How Did This Get Made year.
What a great year.
What a time
what
to
a
be
great
alive.
Year for film.
Yeah.
And the tagline is, don't hunt what you can't kill. And that is Hard Target. New Orleans.
You did it.
You did it.
Wow.
But quickly, what do we want to plug, Jason? What do you want to tell people about?
I will say that if you haven't started it, I cannot recommend highly enough the Amazon Prime series Paper Girls. And if you watch it, it's incredible. It's great. It's based on the Brian K. Vaughan and Cliff Chang comic book. And at a certain point, I am in it.
I didn't know that.
And I get to be a bad guy. It's fun.
I love it. Did you take any lessons from Lance Hendrickson?
Oh, boy. I wish I'd seen this movie before this. I would have absolutely taken inspiration from Lance Hendrickson, for sure.
And June, what do you got?
I'm in this season of Everything is Trash, Phoebe Robinson's show on Freeform. So I'm doing a couple of episodes, and the last two that I'm in are coming out in the next few weeks.
And then I will quickly just plug. What am I going to plug? I have to look at what I put. Oh, yeah, you can listen to Unspooled. Quentin Tarantino was on it. And every Thursday night, Rob Hubel and I, who actually work with Jean-Claude Van Damme, do a show on Twitch totally for free. If you just go to Twitch or YouTube, you can watch it there. And Star Trek Lower Decks Season 3 starts next week, which will be great. And thank you for being with us. This is a massive big show to kick us off. Thank you to Beth running the tech. First time out, back on the road. Thank you, Beth. Thank you, everybody here at the Fillmore. We're going to take a post-picture.
Thank you, everybody who was brave enough to do your second opinion song.
Yes,
in front
thank
of,
you so much.
In front of a crowd of judgmental people. Wow, people are getting up and leaving.
They got to go.
You know what? You got to get home. I understand.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you, New Orleans. Thank you for coming out. We
thank
love
you
seeing
so
you.
Much.
We did it. Nice
thank
work,
you.
New Orleans! Go woo! Fuck yourselves!
Ready for flu season? Help protect yourself and the people around you by booking your free flu jab appointment today. Book in with our trusted, experienced team at over 1,700 Boots pharmacies nationwide. Book in store or online at boots.com/flu and give yourself the best protection against flu. Boots. With you. For life. Free NHS flu jabs available in most Boots pharmacies in England and Wales and in the Isle of Man, and in some Boots pharmacies in Scotland, subject to availability. Eligibility criteria apply.